SIC, Structural Improvement Committee, and the Board Review Committee, who ask that just the XCOM meet them. Then XCOM, except myself, went for the meeting to discuss about the document sent to them on the announcement of at large and about the selection of the director. As you know, since now the beginning of January, I decided not to participate to any discussion on the matter of the selection of the director. Then it's why I am here with you and not in the other room, and it's why we can start this meeting on time. If the other join us, welcome. If not, we will do our job. Then this meeting is split in three parts. Let me verify, but we are supposed to start with CCTLD survey feedback and analysis. Then we will have to discuss two proposals from Ivan, and the last topic will be about the selection of the director. At that moment, Cheryl asked Christopher Wilkinson to take the chair for this subject. Then I will give him the floor, the chair, as soon as we will take this discussion this afternoon. I know that Carlton asked me to make a statement prior, and then Ron and Rudy will be given the floor to the presentation about the LS CCTLD survey feedback and analysis. Carlton, please.
Thank you, Sebastian. I just wanted, because a couple of people come to me, and I thought I would clear it up. This morning, in talking about the virtual integration work group, Alan said something about what my position was, and he didn't say it as important to support a business, give support to the business constituency. And some people took that to mean that I was supporting the business constituency. Let me explain how the vertical, the working group goes. In the working group, there are several competing proposals from different sectors. Most of them have a bunch of people supporting them who are identifiable from contracted parties. As it happens, I did not give a support to any proposal because none of them, in my mind, the proposals have two basic flaws to them. One, they accepted an ownership limit, 15% or some such. That did not make sense to me. Nobody has managed to convince me that you are a bad person if you own 2% up to 15%. But once you go over 15%, you become a bad person. That both, in the end, Sivas from our at large proposed a model. Remember now, he's from at large. And it was on that basis that I said if I had to support any model, which is called the free trade model, if I had to support any model on that basis, I would support a model because that model had what I thought was important. It removed the barrier to vertical integration. I could not find a rational basis for having that barrier, that 15% limit on ownership. And so I was definitely in support of that model because it did not suffer from the disabilities, as I saw it in the other models. Ironically, that is the model that was proposed by a member from At Large. It is not the model that was proposed by a member of the business community. And that's the model that I supported. Now, let me explain support. Support means that I will hold my nose if I had to and vote for it. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that I support every single element of it, but it has the most objectionable elements removed as far as I'm concerned. So I just wanted to make note that it was misunderstood. It didn't mean to say I was supporting the business, because then he would have been in breach of his own suggestion, because he would have been supporting a model that was actually proposed by a member from the business community. So just to clear the air.
So noted, Carlton. Now, Ron and Rudy, it's your turn. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Thank you all for giving us the opportunity to give some thoughts about what we have been studying in the results of the survey in regards to the possible collaboration between CCTLDs and ALSs. And we are not going to show you too many slides, only two. One with figures, some results we picked up out of the survey, and the second one will be some thoughts. I would like to start with the survey results, some figures, where we have to clearly say that we have to be careful with figures. Figures are what they are, and as we have a limited number of respondents, something like 50 ALSs responded to this survey. If I compare this to the number of CCTLDs existing in the world, it's only one-fifth. If I'm not wrong, there's something like 253 CCTLDs in the world. So with 50 ALSs, we are only representing one-fifth of the CCTLDs in the world. It's interesting to keep this in mind. From the results, we have seen that almost 42% are not involved in the CCTLD business. It means that half are participating in the CCTLD business, which is not bad. And 6% have daily contact and involvement in CCTLD business. This means that 6% of the respondents are actively operating inside CCTLDs. 78% is not a member of the CCTLD. That's quite important. And almost 5% are a voting member. So of those who are a member of the CCTLD, 5% has voting rights. And this will be clarified by some figures later on. 44% of the CCTLDs does not allow to be a member. That's what we get back from the ALSs. If this is really true or not, it's another question. It's the perception of the ALS. It's not definitely clear if the CCTLD has the same position in that country. We have to fill this out by asking the CCTLD in that country in order to get the confirmation. 22% of our ALSs are partner of their CCTLD. Not a member, but they are a partner. And 70% of the CCTLDs asked for collaboration of the ALSs in activities. And in that case, 53 were occasionally participating in events. Half of them were really participating in events set up by CCTLDs. Almost 50% has meetings with CCTLDs on a year or quarter basis. So there is a relationship going on at least once a year. A quite important figure that gives us also a sign of the voting member result. Almost, 23% of the CCTLD members are board members of ALSs. It's a very interesting figure. It means that the impulse of having an ALS is probably coming from a member of the CCTLD.
Are you saying managers?
Members, not managers, members of the CCTLD. We don't know if it's a voting member or a board member of the CCTLD, but a member of the CCTLD is a board member of the ALSs. It's quite interesting, because what we can try to get out of this is that maybe the ALS got the impulse from the CCTLD member to be created as an ALS. 35% are approached by CCTLDs to collaborate. That's a very positive sign. And 27% of the CCTLDs approached ALSs to work together with the ALS. And out of this result, out of the 27, is resulting that when they try to work together, it is essentially due to educational programs they want to do. And that's, I think, a quite important element. It definitely gives us the sign that we have to educate ourselves in order to be able to contribute to the CCTLD, but the CCTLD also wants to understand what an ALS is doing and why they are there. 45% of the CCTLDs work with NGOs, and we have seen in some countries, and I've been looking at the figures from the language perspective. In when I compare the languages, you will see that looking on the criteria if the CCTLD is governed by an NGO or by government, that when you split it up in the language, for the French language, non-responded NGO, two responded on the four, being governed by government. And when you look to the Spanish, two were governed by NGO, or were an NGO, and seven are governed by government. It's a quite interesting figure, too. It means that in that context, we have to compare that with the region, and we have to go more in-depth to find out if there is a correlation between region and language. To explain you a bit more, what I'm trying to fill out is that if the Spanish results are coming out of Latin America, it looks like normal for me. If the Spanish comes out of Europe, then we have a question mark. Because in Europe, English is also a common language and should not be a burden. So that's something we have to fiddle out, and we are going to work with DEF on trying to make some correlations between the regions and the language, because it's clear that we have to find out if there's an important issue.
Just a second to interrupt you. Can I propose another ingredient to that correlation, which is the different interaction between CCTLD and LAS in different regions? Because I'm sure that Spanish has that element that you said and also has a lower level of interaction between LASs and CCTLDs, which is a pity, but we already knew that, at least us.
Sure. We need all elements. We have to study all the elements we have received. As I said, as we have only a little bunch of data, we have to be very careful with the figures we want to pop up publicly, because we can be wrong by just taking the figures we got on the limited number. And you will see in the next slide what we're going to try to do. 42% of the ALSs are convinced that there is a need for a closer collaboration with CCTLDs. And that's, I think, the same result as we have been having among us, that we need closer collaboration. When we jump to the next slide, the last one at the same time, I'm just giving some impressions. The figures from the survey are showing us that there is a definite need of closer collaboration. We have to work on that. And we can only do that by showing the added value of an ALS to the CCTLD, to convince them that there is a need to go closer to each other. The CCTLD is a business unit. An ALS is focusing on users and consumers. Has, in fact, in principle, no business case to handle. So there is a different input. And if we can show the added value an ALS has to a CCTLD, I think that we can open doors. And we need also to have a better knowledge of the operation of CCTLDs. Because if you don't understand what they are doing, they will always oppose to you by the fact that they will say, we don't understand what you're doing here because you don't understand our business. You're consuming time from our time, our business time, so please, first try to understand how we operate, and then you can sit together with us and discuss. And I think that's something we have to go through. It's an educational program we have to go through. So the action items I've put up for us as a liaison. First, go in depth into the comments we received. A lot of comments were in Spanish. I don't understand Spanish, so I need first to have the translation in order to handle the comments we received. And we have to prepare an action plan to answer the above needs. An action plan where we have to help our ALSs to understand why we are doing this survey in order to get the other 50% responding to our survey. And I'm just showcasing what I did yesterday in the ISOC chapters meeting. If you can obtain a gift, people are very much more attentive and reactive. And if we show them that out of the survey we did now, they can have a positive element, something we can use, it will probably respond easier to us. So that's one of the action items I would like to execute. And the next step, of course, and that's where I'm counting on my colleague Ron, get the reflections on this result from the CCNSO members. And the idea was that we would try to convince the CCNSO to do a similar survey so that we can compare the results we have with the results they will have. That's quite important aspect, and as we have the CCNSO council meeting tomorrow, Ron will certainly try to bring this up and have some reactions from the CCNSO council. So that's what we try to bring to you as results of this survey. I have a positive impression in the sense that those who reacted on the survey are requesting more. That's clear. We need to go on. And if you compare it to the other results of the survey we had in general, we can put them together and see that there is a need to do more and just not stop at this survey. Those who didn't respond, there is the reason why they didn't. If we can show that by bringing up good results, good information, they probably will be more active and more collaborative for the next survey. And I hope that we get more input from the results by doing some extra examination and study on correlations in order to understand why we have this kind of results in certain regions or by certain languages. And of course, all the input you can bring us is welcome. We need it. I'm just asking, Ron, if you have something to add to the figures and the results we have.
If I may comment?
Yep.
Good afternoon. First of all, I want to congratulate you on the survey. On the face of it, a 50% response is an incredible response for a survey. On the other hand, it could have been much better. And I think because the survey was not a public or a free-form survey, but working its way down through ALAC and the RELOs to the ALSs, it's possible that you could almost demand responses from just about every ALS. Originally, you may well remember that we were going to run this survey through the CCTLDs. And then when it was determined that a lot of the questions that ALAC wanted to ask were really questions that were related to the ALSs, we determined that there should be an ALS survey first. And based on the results of that and the reactions that we got from the ALSs, we would be able to better prepare the CCTLD survey. We have already put to the council, CCNSO Council, this proposal, and they are in favour of such a survey. They want to do it, but we would like to do it properly, and we would, above all, like to make it as good as we can based on the reaction to this ALS survey. Rudy's comments on the freeform style of some of the questions is important, because I think you can learn a great deal from freeform answers. But we do need to be able to read the answers. And I have not really had access to those, and I understand they are going to be translated. The sooner that can happen, the sooner we will be able to prepare a draft survey for your approval, that is the ALAC's approval, that I can then take to CCNSO and say, this is what we want to do. Now, how do you feel about this? What questions do you want to add? What more do you want to know? That has not come out of the ALS survey, because I'm quite sure that they will feel that there's information that they want from the CCNSO, just as you've asked for a perspective from the ALSs. The one thing that leapt out at me here was that of the freeform answers and some of the other answers, there is a real need for educational outreach. And I believe that the TLDs can provide that educational outreach, and that could be one of the greatest benefits of bringing the CCs and the ALSs together. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. If there are any questions...
Yeah, Patrick.
Yes, thank you, Sebastian. Thank you, Rudy and Ron, for this excellent presentation and interesting. I would like to submit that maybe the participation rate of 50% may be linked to the fact that several of our ALSs have quite broader interest than just the domain name system. That may actually be a quite limited activity inside their day-to-day life, and as such, they may not have a need or a will to actively take part in the work of the CCTLD. That's one thing, and that may also explain why these ALSs may not have responded to the survey. It may also be the fact that in some countries, the CCTLD partners with other organizations than the ALSs. So that's something... when you go to the point of asking the CCNSO members if they partner locally with not-for-profits such as our ALS, it might be worth asking them which kind of not-for-profits they work with.
So Thank you, Patrick. Tijani.
Merci.
Thank you. I might disagree with Patrick. I believe that 50% of response is a very good rate for this type of surveys. Secondly, I believe we must refine this survey in the light of the preliminary results we have obtained to raise more accurate questions, more detailed questions, because as you said, Ron, these are very interesting results, but we need to go further. We must know why. Is it because CCTLDs are excluded from ALS? Maybe because they didn't get close enough. These results are very interesting. I think we should go further. The microphone is switched off. I believe we will have a closer cooperation in the future between CCTLDs and ALSs. Wolf?
I just wanted to support the remarks from Patrick before, because I had a couple of phone calls with some of our ALSs when they called me, when they filled in the survey, and they, most of them had difficulties with the second part, which was based on the CCTLDs. And if they have contacts with a national registry, so they have informal contacts. And most of them do not plan to officialize this because it's out of the working scope of the daily business. This was more or less the informal responses I got, and therefore I think you can be satisfied with the result you have, and this was under the given circumstances, I think, the utmost outcome you can expect. And thanks for your excellent work.
Thank you, Wolf. Yeah, Ron?
Yes, that is an excellent point, and I agree with you absolutely. And I feel that from our side, from the CC's side, based on the results of this survey, I believe that any outreach from the CC would in most cases be welcome, primarily because I think a lot of people don't understand the functioning of a CC or even its purpose. And I did some research on this before we ever went into this, and I found that the man in the street knows nothing of ICANN and knows nothing of the local CC or how or why it works. And maybe you shouldn't expect that from the man in the street, but surely ALSs are made up of men in the street and women in the street. And they could be the primary audience for an outreach effort from the CCs. And I would like to, with your assistance, push that forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. And Darlene, can you hear me? It seems that you would like to take the floor. Then the floor is yours. Tiny for the moment, but try again.
Test, 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 test. Can you hear me?
Great. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to echo something that Rudy said during his presentation. I think from that first slide, if memory serves, there was about 42% of ALSs that never had anything much to do with their CCTLD. And then it went into some rather in-depth questions about the workings of the CCTLD. I mean, some of that I even had to look up on our CCTLD webpage, because the average person, if they aren't in regular contact with their CCTLD, would never know that information. So I think that the information then on the say about their workings with CCTLD is going to be somewhat skewed.
Thank you, Darlene. We have trouble with organizing the translation when it's a call coming from outside. Sorry about that. It's difficult to set up, or it's need a lot of changes in short time. Other and last comments? Okay, thank you very much. You want to say, to add a few conclusions, Rudy or Ron?
Well, it will be a pleasure to go more in depth on what we have got back from the ALSs and to try to prepare to give them something back so that we can have a little bit more cooperation for those who didn't react till today and open again for those who didn't. Another aspect I will try to go through is to see where we got reactions from which CCTLDs it came, so that we have a better view on the relation itself, because we have to go back to the list of participants in the survey to see from which country they were and to compare which CCTLD it is in order to better understand it, so that we can go back to the CCNSO with good results based on which country it is. And I think it's quite important to see if the CCTLD that is concerned in this matter is a member of the CCNSO, yes or no, because that can be also very interesting to see. If it's a member or not, it's an important issue, I think. So that's something we have to work on in depth more and see what the outcome is. And really, I'm open to all suggestions to try to see how we can make this better and bring back results in a format that is useful for all the ALSs, to use it also eventually in presentations you are doing inside your country. If there is any need, just call on. We will try to respond.
Yes, I would just like to say finally that I think this is a great effort. I think it's enormously valuable. I think the data as we look into it is going to help us. You know, the first step is a hard one, and I think we can build on this. And certainly it's going to make it much easier for us to produce an informative result from the CCTLD poll or survey now that we understand the type of responses that we got from the ALSs. So thanks again for all the work that you did.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rudy and Ron, for this marvelous work, and thank you for all the ALSs who answered the survey, and I am sure that all around the table you answer the survey, and thank you each and everyone. I just want to remind you that we have an hard stop at 6 because there is another meeting starting in this room at 6, and one part of the team, the European, will have to leave to go to another meeting room. And we have two subjects. I will ask Evan to talk about the first proposal. We have a discussion on this first proposal, and then we go to the second proposal, and we have a discussion on the second proposal. And then I will give the floor to Christopher for the rest of the meeting. Evan, please.
Is there a preference which one you'd like me to do first? Okay. Yesterday I sent out two proposals in email. One of them had to do with outreach and was a suggestion based on a conversation that I'd had yesterday with Rod Beckstrom and with Barbara, the new VP of Communications, about possibly doing a different kind of outreach for at large, one that specifically targeted consumer information technology events. And my proposal was to, as a test, an initial test, to select three large IT conferences around the world, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, CeBIT in Hanover, Germany, and Computex in Taipei, Taiwan, and to have at-large staff these with volunteers and to have ICANN cover the cost of traveling up to two people regionally to these events, but to have the volunteers make sure these booths are staffed and to knowledgeably talk to people about ICANN with the specific intent of getting people involved either at the organizational level as ALSs or as individuals depending on the region, either to directly join the RALO or to get involved in an existing ALS within the RALO, depending on the procedures of that region. So that was the proposal that I'd made and sent out an email yesterday.
Thank you. Wolf?
Well, actually, I supported the proposal from Evan already via the list, and I talked with Matthias already some more details, and I can perfectly imagine if you forward your proposal to ICANN, if you receive the confirmation and the support for this kind of outreach initiatives, I can promise you we can organize next year something in collaboration with the German ALSs, and we have a bunch of nine ALSs in the country and around Hanover, and I think this is an excellent idea, and it could be a test case also in regards of, let's say, our credibility, when we always say to ICANN, please give us more responsibility, give us more support, institutional support, etc. And it can be an opportunity for mobilizing some of the German ALSs which are not the most active at the moment. And this could be a cadre or a frame where we can better embed them and better mobilize them for further activities. Every project, I think, according to my experience, is rather helpful to also improve the inreach among our ALSs and use this chance for improving our outreach.
Okay, first, before giving the floor to Evan, I have Cheryl's point of view I would like to share with you, and then I will give from my personal point of view some of the word, because some of the people who were not in the room this morning when I say my point of view on that. Okay, I would like to read what Cheryl write me. Cheryl strongly believes that this proposal must not be brought to the ALAC first, but be brought via the RALO LSE's, as this involvement travel funding issue that will impact all of the at-large and RALO access to resources, and that the proposal includes a RALO representative that would be going to this meeting providing a report to the board in 2011 with no mention of due process through cross-regional, regional, and or ALAC endorsement. She suggests that the secretariat meeting discuss this proposal fully. Full stop. I take my own hat. I say this morning that I was really very disappointing that if it's a discussion with the CEO, I think it's the wrong way. And I would like to underline one point. It's at the end of the day, the budget is one and single. And if we make this choice, it's a choice, and we have to think about what are the other possibilities of using this money. And I am not sure that we can discuss that in like that, but I would like to support the proposal of Cheryl to put that as a subject at the secretariat meeting next tomorrow or after tomorrow morning. Evan?
Okay. As far as the budgetary concerns, at least based on the conversations I had, the intention is not to take this out of ALAC funding or at-large funding. It has been suggested that we talk to either Global Partnerships or to ICANN's own to actually, Rod had talked about finding the money out of his own departments, that this was considered to be not a zero-sum game, that anything that this project does would be taken away from other at-large funding. That was not the intention. And if that is the case, then I would gladly withdraw this. The intention was to create an experiment, one that tried to get and attract people that were outside the usual internet governance circles
to try and find people at IT shows who are already were cognizant of the internet but possibly not aware of what ICANN did, to try and meet people partway in terms of bringing the information out. So as far as the budgetary concerns, this would my intention was to do this in such a way as to not to impact the at-large budget, but simply to try and take Rod up on his long and frequent talks about bringing this back into the public eye and to making ICANN relevant to the public. Heidi, you'd mentioned about global partnerships. I mean, is this a reasonable route? Is this a reasonable approach to take? I don't know. In terms of the budgeting, it was not my intent to cut into at large funding at all.
Thank you, Tijani.
I'm going to share with you one of my own living experiences. Along the same lines, I had suggested last time at the last meeting a way to make ICANN more visible to our fellow, and a way to do more outreach to gain new ALSs. I said that we must be present in the most important IT forums or in the Internet Ecosystem Forums, the WSAS, the World Summit on Information Security that is held in Geneva, and we should also be present at the IGF, which is to be held at Vilnius this year. When I spoke about it, all the officials, all ICANN officials were very enthusiastic. They said, yes, go for it, let's do it. Everybody was in favor of that. It was an ALAC meeting, if you remember. I talked to the members of the board, and several of them were very encouraging. I think we must put that on our budget because it's the only way in ICANN to be able to do something. It should be put in the budget. And when the budget is adopted, then we can do something. Thank you, Tijani.
Left for this discussion and the next subject, but but Heidi wanted to make then Heidi, Patrick, and Adam. I guess Evan, you have to switch off your mic, please.
I can hear you.
No mic.
Your mic.
Thank you.
If I could just mention that Mandy Carver from Global Partnerships is in the back at the back of the room, and she's very happy to speak on this. So, if we could just have a few minutes of that.
Sorry, I will not. But Patrick, and then Adam.
Bon, je vais le dire en français parce que mon anglais étant parfois.
I'm going to say it in French because my English is sometimes a bit weak, and I may say this in a non-diplomatic fashion. I think it is preposterous to say that we should take money from the at-large budget, and while that money should come from the PR budget of ICANN. We, the ALSs, we are the showcase. We are there to try to attract people to ICANN, to make ICANN more visible. We work on a voluntary basis. We're ready to work on a voluntary basis to support ICANN in that process. And we risk being sanctioned financially if we do that. I find this unacceptable. ICANN has a budget, an advertising budget, a marketing budget, a PR budget, and that should pay for it.
Merci, Patrick. Adam?
Thank you, Patrick. Adam?
Patrick and Mandy shouldn't be asked to pay for this either at the Global Partnerships, which is also having budget constraints, as we heard during the Nairobi meeting. And I do think it's a good idea, and I think we should embrace new ideas that are thinking out of the box, so Evan should be thanked for that. I'm interested to know what the dates are for. Is it next year that we might be doing this? I think it would be a very good opportunity for the ALAC to lead not just ALS recruitment, but also other activities around new GTLDs, which we mentioned this morning, where a technical community has to be aware of these activities to make sure that applications and services are ready for and accepting of potentially 500 new TLDs. So it's not just, it's something that we can use for ALS recruitment, but also for the ALL, the at large, to lead a larger activity within a useful activity for ICANN. So I think it's worth taking forward and to do so via Rod's office and to use PR funding. Summary. Eh?
Thank you. Alan, Carlos, and I will close this part of the discussion.
I'm not sure I like the particular idea, but I'm a little bit perturbed about the sort of slapping down of the process. Again, it may not have been the order I would have done the verification in myself, but an idea is on the floor. No money has been committed at this point, and I don't want us to be in a mode where someone no longer comes up with ideas because they're afraid that they may not have followed due process in exactly the right order. So I think we just need to be a little bit careful about how we handle comments like this and suggestions. It's hard enough to get ideas in this group and in this venue, not this group, but in this venue and pursue new ideas.
Carlos?
Gracias, Sebastian.
Thank you, Sebastian. As Patrick, I'm going to speak in Spanish to control myself. As Ivan, I agree with Ivan, Patrick, Adam. There are ideas, there are proposals, very good proposals and ideas, and this should be carried out. They say money is always an impediment, a problem. But we should really try to look for ideas to raise that money, to find that money in order to implement the good ideas. As Patrick and Adam have said, we are working on a volunteer basis and we are working for ICANN. And in our regions, we are working very hard in order to get people involved and to create new ALSs. However, when ICANN organizes events in our regions, they forget to invite representatives of the users that participate in ALAC. So, this is very serious, and we have to bear that in mind, because not only it's impossible to carry out the new ideas, but when they organize meetings in our regions, we are forgotten, and we are talking about, and they want to talk about the future of internet without the participation of the.
I would like to take an example. Le bureau à Palo Alto fait qu'il y a un personnel de moins dans les équipes.
Sorry, the Palo Alto office has one staff less in the at-large staff. When you say that there is one budget on one side that will have no impact on another one, it's not part of the reality we're facing today, I believe. Then secondly, we have a very good idea. We would like to have general assemblies in each region. But how about the funding? Is it funded out of the CEO's, Mr. CEO's budget? Well, I would like that to be a reality. I agree that we should be careful, we should look at new ideas, but we also need to have in-depth discussions about these new ideas without turning these discussions into diplomatic conflicts. We We are free to express our opinions. We're not saying that these ideas should be rejected, that this idea in particular should be rejected, but each region, each ALS and each RALO should wonder whether it is the best use of the money that we are given to organize activities in the different regions. Let's at least ask that question, try to find the answer to that question. If we find a solution, well, it's all for the best. But And we're going to have to stop the discussion on this topic because we need to have another discussion. There is another proposal that Ivan has tabled, and I would like to give him the opportunity to explain it again so that we can discuss it. But I think we should put that on the agenda of the Secretariat's meeting tomorrow. I'm sure we can have another in-depth discussion about it and probably a very lively discussion too in a regional framework, and that will enable us to coordinate the proposal with the wishes of each one of the regional leaders, and then we can bring that back to ALAC in the form of a joint proposal coming from the regions.
Second point, We are short of time. Sorry about that.
No, I'm fine with taking this to the Secretariat's regional meeting as well. Anyway, we'll deal with that later. The second activity has to do with the role of consumer groups within ICANN and a logjam that I perceive to have happened between consumer groups trying to create a consumer constituency within GNSO, with NCSG creating a consumer interest subgroup, and there seemed to be a logjam, and the end result is that consumer groups that are showing an interest are having either a difficult path or they're having to tread a minefield of harsh words. And so after having a number of conversations with very interested parties, I personally came to the conclusion that consumer issues are at-large issues. They're a subset of at-large issues specifically to deal with things to do with financial purchases and so on. And we've also now been hearing from the AOC and from other groups within ICANN that we need to be more cognizant of consumer issues. To that effect, I've been talking, as I said, to a number of the various stakeholders involved, and yesterday made a proposal to create a standing permanent working group on consumer issues as part of ALAC, and to invite the consumer groups that are involved with ICANN some way or another, invite them, if they're not ALSs, to become ALSs in their appropriate region, to join this working group, and then to for at-large and ALAC to support this working group to advance consumer interests throughout ICANN. I just came along with Adam and Wolf from the NCSG meeting where this was also debated and received wholehearted support. Fouad, you were there too, right? And it received wholehearted support, including from some of the people that have been the most vocal opponents of a consumer constituency within GNSO. So this appears to be at least a path of least resistance. It would be non-exclusive. If there ends up being a path going through GNSO, then that will happen, but that is not within our purview. Here we are in ALAC, and I'm suggesting to ALAC that we make a specific corner welcoming to consumer interests and that we support that and help it. That we are the ones that help advance that through ICANN.
What?
Supporting what Evan has said and what Adam also shared on the email thread about the proposal. The issue came into NCSG when a group was forming a constituency under the NCSG. And this is very clear that NCSG itself is under the GNSO, right? They're concerned with GNSO-related issues. But anyone that comes into the ALAC gets to participate in the overall issues. So this is one important aspect, and that is where I also recommended within the NCUC that directly, actually, to that constituency, the interested party, that they join the ALEC. So this is actually the best way to go.
Others? Karis?
Yes, I'd like to support the Evan's suggestion. I think it's a good idea, and I see no reason why doing this is going to necessarily have a negative impact on the GNSO deliberations on this topic. And I'd also like to just comment on, as an aside, that I also support his previous suggestion.
Thank you, guys. Carlton and then Bo.
I want to support Evan's idea. As a matter of fact, it's not far removed. Just so as you know, the Jamaica Consumers League is an ALS and a member of LACRALO, so we've been there. And there's no inherent conflict in having a consumer organization as part of LAC, part of the at large. As a matter of fact, there's no successful contradiction to the fact that consumer issues are, in fact, end-user issues and properly in at large. Just to say that while I understand that there is some method to having ideas imported into the at-large in a specific way, I firmly reject any idea that it has to be only one way. And I would be totally shocked if we use a straitjacket as the basis to exclude ideas.
Bo?
Just very quickly, also wanted to support Evan's proposal. And I would also encourage as many people from in the room here within at large to get involved. Traditionally, I don't think at large has been as tuned into or involved in consumer issues as it probably ought to be. So this is an opportunity to do that.
Thank you. If there is no other talk, Andres?
Heidi points out, in Spanish. Heidi destaca que...
Heidi has said that in a Skype that ERALO has also ALS from consumers, ALS from Slovenia. Just wanted to mention that.
If I can, you want to? Okay, Wolf.
Well, for me, sometimes this looks like a phantom debate, because whether you call them internet users or under traditional considerations, you call some consumers, or if you talk in media politics, you have the spectators. These are different words for the same people. We want to get involved. These are our target groups. And labeling, for me, them in competitive ways makes no sense at all. We are directed, I think, whether it's NCUC, whether it's ALEC, to the end users, and we want to get them involved, we want to get them empowered. And what is the best and the appropriate way to get them involved is reasonable to be done. And therefore, I think this competition between two groups, to me, it makes no sense at all. The best way to approach them, the best way to involve and to integrate them should be followed and should be done.
Thank you. Then it's something that the group thinks that it's a good idea. Then we will... get that in the formal ALEC meeting, I guess. And I would like to close to this two discussion and give now the chair to Christopher Wilkinson for the last point on our agenda. Thank you.
Sebastian, and I just want to thank you for giving me the time to air my little pet ideas.
You're welcome, Evan. And Christopher?
Good afternoon again. Our chairperson has asked me to moderate this short session, which on this occasion will last about half an hour, not more, because the meeting room is taken at 6 o'clock. The purpose, as I understand it, is to give you all an update on the status and recent developments relating to the future election of a member of the board, a voting member of the board, by the at-large community. This is not the first time that most of you have heard about this project. There have been significant developments. There are several members of the candidate evaluation committee present, who may wish to contribute particularly to the discussion at a later stage. I'm looking particularly at Hong and at Annalisa and myself, and I'm not quite sure who else in the room is on the BCEC. With that short introduction, I would propose to do this in three modules in a sort of logical progression of first to ask Heidi Ulrich to report to you on the results of the BCEC work recently on the preparation of a call for expression of interests. I understand this is at an advanced stage, including translations. Secondly, for her to refer briefly to the document relating to the expression, the statement of interest itself, in effect the application form, which in general, if I may say so, is a fairly classic ICANN-esque document, so you won't be terribly surprised by that. And then the most recent development, and I'd like to reserve about 20 minutes of our time available for this, is that a few minutes ago, Cheryl and I were given a copy of the amendments of the bylaws which are proposed to implement the proposed decision to have the at-large elect a voting board member. The status of this document, and I can see that the first paragraph is already up, the status of this document is, I understand that it is pretty well a final proposal to be discussed by the board on Friday. So, and a member of the ICANN Legal Service, Samantha, is that you, will assist us in our review of this document. I must confess that having received it only a few minutes ago, I haven't read it properly yet. So I don't know what Cookie and Petard we will discover, but there's some interesting news there. So first of all, Heidi, could you walk us quickly through the results of the latest BCEC conference calls and the staff's related support in the final drafting of the call for statements of interest and the statement of interest form.
Yes, actually, I think, Christopher, you've given a very good summary of where we are. The BCEC have now finalized the call for applications, and they have now finalized the statement of interest, which you see up on the screen. Where we are in terms of just the logistics, we've just now, a half an hour ago, have received the Spanish and French translation for the call for applicants, and we are waiting for Big Pulse to prepare this online SOI into French and Spanish. So we're hoping that we can actually release this by optimistically Friday, but perhaps early next week we'll get this out. So I think that's where we are. And again, as the white paper specified, the application or the call will be for 1 month. So, I mean, do you want us to walk through this? I've given the link on the Adobe Connect. I've given the link on the Skype chat. So you can feel free to walk through there. You do need to just to get past the first page. You will need to just put your first and last name in there and then push.
No, I'd like to go right round the track once quickly, and then even if we have to refer further discussion to our next meeting to make sure that this afternoon we get right round the track once. So we'll take that as not as read, but it's done. And I presume that at some juncture a qualified member of preferably the ALAC itself would reread the French and Spanish versions to make quite sure that the translators got the right sentiment and feel for the expressions that we have so carefully devised in the English version. If I turn now to the amendments to the bylaws, there are basically two different kinds of amendments. One is frequent and small, which are about just changing the numbers so that we have 16 elected board members instead of 15, and that the at-large liaison is deleted, and these are sort of procedural and practical changes. But there are two or three substantive changes which govern the conduct and outcome of the proposed election. I say proposed because this has to be adopted by the board on Friday or a subsequent meeting. So maybe, Samantha, you could come to the table and walk us through the document. But as I said, the important thing is to go right round the track once now. Don't spend too much time on the little numbers, so that we can get to the substantive amendments as quickly as possible. Thank you.
So thank you for having me here. I am with the Office of the General Counsel, and so there are some limitations as to my ability to fully explain legal reasoning behind the document or anything if there are reasons. I did not know that I would be called here to explain the document. I think the best thing I can do at this point is to first explain the process and clarify the process that has been proposed to go forward. The board is not considering these bylaws for approval on Friday. We would not present you with the document 3 days before the board was going to approve it. The process for all bylaws changes in the organization is that they go to the board not essentially to review for substance, but to approve a posting of for public comment for a period of no less than 30 days. Once that public comment period has closed, staff will undertake its review and analysis of any comments received and provide that summary and analysis to the board for the board to then act on the proposed bylaws amendments. If there are substantial changes that are identified within the bylaws that would require or transparency and accountability and community expectation would require that another version be posted for public comment, because the changes are so substantive, we would go through another iteration of the process. So I don't want you to think that this is your, you know, 36-hour window within which to try to make changes. To that end, if there are things that this group or anyone in the community is uncomfortable with or wants clarification of, or things should be done in a different way, we do have a public comment period that we'll be opening up. So I don't want you to walk out of here today with the impression that this is your last chance to say something about it. This may be the first chance, but it's a first chance in a process where we are committed to hearing everything you have to say and want to say about it. As part of the General Counsel's office is the keeper of the bylaws, essentially, for the organization. And for any changes to the bylaws, it's not practical for us to just say, okay, we need to add a seat to the board and remove a liaison from the board, so those are the only changes we have to make. We had to take a thorough review of all the sections of the bylaws to determine what other changes or what inconsistencies within the bylaws we may create by performing amendments in another place. So that's why there are more amendments here than you may have expected to see as necessary for the seating of the at-large director. So all of the changes that we have identified here are mostly what we believe are necessary or proper to maintain the consistency of the bylaws. To that end, there's an opportunity to comment and to see if there's something else that may need to happen to make them better reflect the seating of the director selected by the at-large community.
Yes, thank you. Maybe I got slightly the wrong impression for what, after all, was a very hurried meeting between Cheryl and two members of the Structural Improvements Committee. On the one hand, it's of some reassurance that there will be a public comment period, but on the other hand, we're very short of time between now and when this director is going to be seated. Somebody would have to make some calculations by the day as to how to squeeze the public comment period into the decision-making period and subsequent events. And at this point in time, I can't say whether the statement of interest and call for statements of interest should be published before or after the board has made the final decision on the bylaws changes. That's something which would have to be referred to the members of the at-large committee itself.
Thank you for that, Christopher. It is, first of all, I know there's been conversations with Heidi and with Cheryl before. The release of the statements of interest is a matter for decision of the at-large, of the ALAC. And, you know, you can see where the board is with this. Just to give you a bit of sense, we have done some very careful calculations on the staff side to make sure that we are proposing the bylaw amendments in sufficient time for a public comment period to happen and for the board to consider them so that we can meet the stated deadline that was within the board review working group report to have the at-large director seated at the AGM. So we have done a lot of calculations of time on that end.
Okay. Could we scroll down to the next page on the text? Yeah? Yes, sure.
Pardon me? Oh, do you want to go first?
Yes, please. It would be really helpful if I might be the only one, but I don't know where to find this document. Is it somewhere?
This document has not yet been posted. The Structural Improvements Committee requested staff to provide them with the proposed bylaws amendments for their meeting this Saturday prior to the opening of the ICANN meeting. We have board committee meetings that take place the weekend before the meeting starts. And the board, the Structural Improvements Committee at that meeting approved making a recommendation to the board that these get posted for public comment and for the board to consider that then. So the posting has not yet been made. As staff, we had a very strong belief that it was appropriate to show these to the at-large before they went up. We did not want you to be taken by surprise as to what you saw in there. So this is not yet a publicly available document because there's no place for it to be posted yet. The board hasn't said, go ahead and post it. So this is, it's just not publicly posted. I know Christopher has a printed out copy. I'm sure we can get a copy, but in all truth, the board hasn't even seen it yet for their consideration.
Okay, I understand. So I just want to concur with Christopher that as a member of the BCEC, I'm a little unsure that maybe that should be posted publicly before that SOI goes out. I mean, the call for the, what do you call it? Well, yes, right, yeah.
Okay, let's keep the internal discussion between the ALAC and the BCEC to an internal meeting. Not that the staff is not going to be excluded from this discussion. After all, they're always there. But I want to go right round the track and get to page 5 in the next 10 minutes. So perhaps we could take it half a page at a time and ask Samantha to comment on each half page, depending on how much blue and green paint.
Could I have the microphone back that I gave
you
the lead to?
Yeah, sure.
Just two very quick comments. In terms of the timing, the ABSDT, the group that originally started the this process, did discuss with both the SIC and with legal counsel that it was appropriate to proceed with the whole thing prior to bylaws being enacted, with the exception of the actual final vote, that there was no reason that we could not proceed. It's conceivable that that process could be revisited and have to be changed, but that there was no reason not to do them in parallel. So that part was approved. In terms of the bylaws, although I am the last person that would want to see this delayed anymore because it's already been a lot more delayed than we had imagined originally, I'm somewhat disappointed when, as GNSO liaison, I participated in the bylaw revision for the new GNSO organization. The GNSO was given the bylaws and had an opportunity to comment on them. Revisions were made prior to them going to the board. And it's unfortunate that we haven't had the same treatment and the same luxury.
And
this is the second half of page.
Microphone.
Right. Samantha, any comments on this page?
No. As you read it and when you receive your own copy, if you do, the items that are in blue are links to internal cross-references within the bylaws. It appears that the track changes is reflected in green here. This is a red line.
Right. So on va faire un page par page.
Let's proceed page by page.
The new director will have seat number 15. That's a lucky number in some societies, I hope. Okay, let's go to the next page. I see no substantive changes on the next page. You can go down to section 4, additional qualifications. This is all of the previous text that we're very familiar with. Now, if we go to the next page, that's page... Yeah?
I can't read when it's moving.
Yeah. Can we do, if you do
Mr. Buff.
Function page down, you'd probably find it moves just block by block. The piece in green at the bottom of that paragraph is essentially the conflict of interest clause in the event that a person serving in any capacity on the at-large advisory committee accepts a nomination to be considered for selection by the at-large community as a director, the regional at-large organization or other group or entity that selected that person may select a replacement for purposes of the community's selection process. That principle of no conflict of interest has already been understood by our membership and acted upon. Okay. Yes?
Sebastian? It's clear for the Rado how it's happened with the nominating committee people. We will ask them to replace for this purpose.
I see. First of all, I have just a question to understand. I will not make any comment. How it's done for the nominating committee people, a member of the ALAC?
Well, I don't know. And I don't want to burden this meeting with that question. I'm sure we can find the correct answer. Probably somebody like Hong knows the answer, but let's leave it until the end of the meeting. Evan? It is Evan, isn't it?
Yes, before you scroll off that big paragraph in the
microphone.
Sorry, I thought I turned it on. Sorry. That big paragraph in green is problematic. In the event that a person serving in any capacity on ALAC accepts a nomination to be considered for selection by the community as a director, the regional at-large organization or other group that selected the person, is that referring to the BCEC or is it because Rallo does not select a person?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, Alan. I'm confused by this paragraph.
I've looked at it with regard to supporting organizations for another reason a year or so ago. What it says is if Patrick is a candidate, he cannot participate in the debate or any selection process or the vote, for instance, for that. He can either be quiet and not participate and not vote, or the organization that appointed him could replace him. And he would no longer be part of the ALAC and something else.
That's it. I'm taking the chair's prerogative, since we're now running out of time, to go straight to this paragraph, which is brand new. The first regular term of seat 15 shall begin on the day 6 months after the conclusion of ICANN's annual meeting in 2010, and each ICANN annual meeting every third year after 2010. That means May 2011. Note, in the period prior to the first term, seat 15 shall remain vacant. At the conclusion of the ICANN annual meeting in 2010, that's next week, the at-large community shall, through a process coordinated by the at-large advisory committee, make the selection of a director to fill seat 15 with a term to conclude upon the commencement of the first regular term specified for seat 15 in accordance with this section of the bylaws, and shall give the ICANN secretary written notice of its selection. Until the conclusion of the ICANN annual meeting in 2010, that's December, there will be a non-voting liaison appointed by the at-large advisory committee who shall participate as specified, etc. Maybe you could just give us a short guidance as to the reasoning which resulted in this particular clause.
As I recall seeing in the in the white paper for the selection process, there was a statement that the term for the seat selected by the at-large community should coincide with the supporting organization term. It might have been in the BCEC. I know it was, I believe it was stated somewhere in the at-large documentation. In addition, there was a directive from the board to staff that the term for the at-large, the director selected by the at-large should be coordinated with the terms of the sponsoring or our supporting organizations here at ICANN. The importance of that is that the diversity calculation process and the benefit that the NOMCOM gives to the ICANN process in making sure that we have a balance of independent and diverse directors requires on is based upon the timing of directors appointed by the supporting organizations being selected at a time after the annual general meeting because the at-large directors are seated at the annual general meeting. That differential in time is important for making sure that there's balancing. While there was a directive that term alignment happened, therefore, what that means is that the term of the at-large board director must be set at a time that is 6 months after the conclusion of the AGM, because that is the same time frame that the supporting organization seats are selected at. So that's what's reflected there. I can also note that there was not a directive as to which AGM it must be timed from. So there are concerns about that. You know, there is a public comment period, and if there's a question about the shortness of the term, that's there. I know there's also the transition language that appears right within the sentence. If you look down within the bylaws themselves, the full bylaws are not replicated here in this red line document, but if you go to the bylaws that are posted on ICANN.org, you can look in the transition article and see the transition article for the seating of directors from the supporting organizations after the 2002 reorganization. And this language is directly coordinated with the language that created the transitional terms for the directors at that time. That's where this language came from. We felt it was important to give equal treatment in every sense to the at-large for the seating of the seat. And so that's where we pulled the language from, because it represented the same situation of not feasibly being able to seat for a full term at the first appointment, and recognizing that it was also very important to not wait until a first full term could begin to allow the seating of a director.
Did you consider doing it the other way around, and for the at-large to appoint a three-year term now, and for the nominating committee to make the corresponding adjustments?
That was not really mine to consider, and I encourage you to provide public comment to reflect the directive of the Structural Improvements Committee that the term be aligned with the terms of the supporting organizations. I do have a meeting that I have to go to.
There's one question at the back of the room which I'd like to take before you leave, Samantha.
Sebastian. Yeah, sorry if I understand well, but maybe I am wrong in calculation. But if you say that it will be seated 6 months after the AGM of 2010, that means in June of 2011, and you say that the first 6 months will be the seat will not be fulfilled, that means the first board director will be seated at the end of 2011. And that's a little bit strange for me, because we will be ready to have somebody seated at the AGM 2010.
If you look further in that sentence, Sebastian, or in that paragraph, it does state that the at-large community may provide the secretary notice of a person to fulfill the seat, and that first filling of the vacant seat will conclude upon the commencement of the first regular term. So there is a provision for someone to be seated at the AGM. And so that, I know this language isn't exactly crystal clear, but it is, again, this is a mirror to the language that's been used in prior transition clauses.
I guess the problem is 2010 and 2011 somewhere. But Maybe I am wrong in calculation.
We have a request for the floor. I'm prepared to go on for a few minutes unless our successors.
Could you perhaps say that we could have this discussion further at the wrap-up session?
No. I'm not even going to be in the wrap-up session, I expect. Adam.
My main concern is the loss of the liaison and the way that that's been presented to us. It's almost like a fait accompli, which is fine, except we disagree with it, and I would like to know when do we start to say we disagree with it, because unless these are published, we don't have a formal process in which to disagree with it,
yeah.
And it would be really nice to start hammering the board or the SIC or whoever it is on this right now.
Yeah. Well, Cheryl was very eager to make the point, which I shall make now, that the fact that this document exists will give the go-ahead to proceeding with the election that we have planned. But the question that clearly arises here is to what is the mandate of the successful candidate. Heidi wants us to vacate the room. I have no problems with that because I have another appointment very shortly as well. Is there any last question? Because otherwise we shall refer this to Cheryl and to the next meeting. Perhaps, Hong, you would like to say something from the BCEC point of view or the nominating?
Well, I have no authorization to talk on behalf of BCEC. The chair is not here. I'm only one of the members. But I agree with you. We shouldn't be burdened by this document at the moment, as it's been explained by the legal counsel office staff. This document is going to be published in due course and will be subject to public consultation period, so a large community can fully utilize that period to submit its comments. We can voice our dissatisfaction about any wording that's any change has been made to this bylaw. So these about the terms, about the descriptions, so anything of this that can be commented. So I wonder whether we must do it right now. And it'll be less if we don't have time. Yeah.
No. Okay. Thank you, Hong, for those very wise words. I close the session. Thank you.
If I could, those URALO members who now have the monthly URALO meeting, please, if you could go down one level to 201. And again, in this room, we now are overdue by a few minutes for the joint AFRALO-AFRICON meeting on Resolution 20.